Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The State Senate and State House are back in session. There are some very important bills that have been introduced in Harrisburg. We're going to talk about some of them today. We're going to take time to discuss them. And if you believe they're a good idea, then we encourage you to call your state representative and state senator and ask him or her to support them. It's going to be a variety of bills. And as we look across the state at the multitude of issues, we see the need for these bills. Sometimes bills are introduced and we scratch our heads as to why they've been introduced, but these issues are extremely important, and I'm going to be talking to Representative Daryl Metcalf as to why they are so important. Representative Metcalf represents part of Butler County, and thanks, Representative, for being with us today.
Great to be with you again.
And I know you've been busy, back in session almost a week.
We just reconvened this Monday. And have 3 days of session, and we'll be back in again next week.
Next week, okay. You know, some people complain because you guys supposedly got the entire summer off. That wasn't right. I mean, you guys weren't in Harrisburg mostly for the summer from July 30th for almost 2 months. Just what do you guys do on your summer break?
It's really not a summer break.
Right.
It's a recess from the voting session of the General Assembly. But normally, as I've been a rank and file member over the years, various committees that we're appointed to serve on, and some of those committees that I served on over the last 13 years included finance that deals with taxes, education, of course, that deals with our education policy, the labor committee, tourism committee, state government committee. Those various committees would hold hearings on various issues that you would want to have the time to consider testimony from testifiers on various issues and then be able to bring all that together when you come back in the voting session to hopefully move legislation that would enact new policies to correct the deficiencies of government or promote some of the things that the government should be doing and getting out of our way. And restoring our liberty is always my push. But this summer, from the state government committee's perspective, of which I'm the chairman, we held several hearings. We held a hearing on reducing the size of the legislature. We have about 5 or 6 bills that have been introduced by various members in the House of Representatives to reduce the size of the Pennsylvania legislature. We had a hearing on our National Security Begins at Home package. We actually had 2 days of hearings on August 30th and 31st. We held hearings on about a 15-bill package to go after the magnets that attract illegal aliens into Pennsylvania to try and shut down the illegal alien invasion here in Pennsylvania. We also held a hearing on making English the official language of our state to ensure that we have that one common bond and our government isn't spending money to communicate in various languages and wasting tax dollars. And of course, all those hearings it's a process to line up testifiers from various parts of the country to bring them in and talk about the issues and their expertise on the issues to have good information for the members of the committee to actually be able to move that policy.
Plus, you've been very much involved with the redistricting of Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania will lose one congressional seat.
That's correct. I'm on the state government committee, as I said, the chairman of the state government committee, and our committee has oversight for the election code and also for many other areas of the law, but one of the areas that we also cover is the redistricting process. When it comes to congressional redistricting, there's a 5-member reapportionment commission that actually deals with drawing the new legislative boundaries for the state house and the state senate seats. It's a 5-member commission, but the state legislature actually considers a bill that will be moved through the Senate and through the House and ultimately put on a governor's desk to change our congressional delegation from 19 members to 18 members, which is not good for Pennsylvania to be losing one of our members and one of our voices there. But it's because of the stagnant population growth that we've had as a state that we grew at about a third of what the rest of the nation did population-wise. So I think the nation grew at about 9%, where Pennsylvania grew at about 3%. So we'll be losing a congressional representative.
Difference. And I also know that you, on May 2nd, you introduced the Marriage Protection Amendment. And what that does is will give the voters of Pennsylvania an opportunity to vote on the definition of marriage as being between one man and one woman. And it actually goes a step further and bans what I call counterfeit marriage, which is civil unions. Now, you have been a strong advocate for this since the beginning. Since 2006, you've been the primary sponsor for this one. Why do you think that the Marriage Protection Amendment is so important? And give us some information as the process of getting an amendment onto the ballot for the people to vote on.
Right. The Marriage Protection Amendment, I think, is a necessity for us as a state to ensure that we protect the traditional definition of marriage as being between one man and one woman. We've introduced House Bill 1434, which is a constitutional amendment that would ultimately allow the citizens of Pennsylvania to define marriage rather than allowing a judge somewhere to decide for us what the definition of marriage is. And our definition in the bill's language would actually say marriage is the legal union of only one man and one woman as husband and wife, and no other legal union that is treated as marriage or the substantial equivalent thereof shall be valid or recognized. And when you see states like New York starting to recognize marriage as being between two people other than a man and a woman, then that ultimately will create conflict in the rest of the states in the union, as you see other states do, like New York had just recently done.
Right.
And there will be, ultimately, we believe, there'll be a couple of people out there that are going to say we're going to challenge the law in Pennsylvania, and unless we protect marriage in our Constitution, then it would be up to a judge to decide whether or not a statute would stand rather than allowing the people to decide by making sure that you cement the definition of marriage in the Constitution of the state.
Yeah, and Iowa is a perfect example of the judges deciding that, yes, you're going to legalize same-sex marriage. And they did not, at that point, have a constitutional amendment. It's still, I mean, they're hoping to be able to get that on the ballot within the next year or two with a changeover of the, they retired a couple of those Supreme Court judges who decided that they were going to have same-sex marriage. So they were retired last election cycle. But it's very important because marriage is the foundation of any society. And if that is redefined, then society will no longer function as it should. So I appreciate you taking the lead on this and for being willing to take a strong lead in having it a two-part amendment, a two-part language, because it's extremely important, because we see too many states that have just passed a simple sentence that says marriage is only between one man and one woman, and then the voters pass that, and then within the next year or two, we see civil unions being passed in that same state because they did not take the extra precaution to also ban civil unions, which is really a stepping stone for the judges to use and say you've created a second-class citizenship within your state and you have to legalize same-sex marriage. So I appreciate that. You mentioned a little bit ago about you guys had held hearings on the bills that would officially make English the language of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And you mentioned the tax dollars that would be saved if this became law. Now, do you know about how many tax dollars? I mean, when I look at some of these government forms that are, I don't know how many languages they've been translated into, that you can choose from. Do you know about how many dollars are spent in some of these translations, these various translations, and what some of the various translations are?
I do not, but I know that our policy across the various departments in Pennsylvania is not consistent, that there's some departments communicating in languages that are not communicated in amongst the other departments with people who are doing business with the Commonwealth. So there's not a consistency in policy across state government as far as what languages we do communicate in. And that in and of itself creates confusion and will create additional cost. There's, various documents, as you said, that are printed. There's driver's testing that's taking place in languages other than English, which creates its own hazards on the road. As we recently just saw someone convicted just here in northern Butler County for driving a truck and running into a car or a vehicle with five people, and it killed five people.
Yeah.
And this individual did not speak English, had to have a translator at the court hearing. He was on a road that was posted as not being a road to be on. If you had a truck of that weight size, ran a stop sign. When you put people out there in our economy and they're working and they're moving around on our streets and roads, you create additional hazards if they don't know how to communicate in English. So it's important that we encourage everyone who's going to do business with the state of Pennsylvania or with our local governments that they actually do so in one common language. And it's common sense that we should have English designated as our official language because it would save tax dollars. I'm not sure how much, but we know it would save tax dollars because you wouldn't have to print or communicate in other languages.
And that's not going to make it illegal to speak another language.
Right,
exactly. And I'm sure that's what some of the opponents are saying. Well, you're going to throw me in jail if I speak my home tongue, and that's not the purpose of...
But so my wife and daughter are both bilingual, and they both speak and write and can communicate in two different languages. And that's a great thing for people to be able to do. I think that parents ought to encourage their children to take a second language and or a third, or a fourth, and that we should be able to stretch our communication skills and be able to communicate with other people around the world in various languages. But when we're doing business here as a state and as the local governments do, and we're doing it on behalf of our taxpayers, it's really our responsibility to ensure that we do it the most efficient and effective way. And that would be by having one common language and having English designated as that.
Absolutely. I mean, you go to the bank nowadays and you push English or Spanish. I mean, that's crazy. in itself. You know, we're in a small town, and they have on the option at the ATM, push English or Spanish, like.
Okay. Always makes you wonder. And there's 31 states already, you know, have English designated as their official language. 31 states. And in fact, there's 54 countries that recognize English as their official language.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, air traffic control is conducted in English internationally.
Okay.
Really, the world is trying to do business
in English.
Many countries have recognized they're trying to do it in English.
And here the American government is trying to become bilingual. Which is,
right.
is crazy, absolutely crazy. So I'm glad someone, I can't remember who the primary sponsors of those bills are.
We have Representative Scott Perry and Representative Rosemary Swanger. They both have bills introduced, and we're expecting to see legislation introduced if it's not been already introduced in the Senate, possibly.
Okay, fantastic. Then there's HB 934, which would require photo ID to vote.
That's correct. That's a necessary, common sense piece of language to combat voter fraud and ensure every law-abiding citizen that when they participate in being we the people in our government, that their vote is not canceled out by a fraudulently cast vote. It's been a long time coming, but I think we're going to get it done this year. We have momentum. We passed it through our committee and out of the House to the Senate. Been talking with the State Government Committee Chair in the Senate, Senator McElhaney, and working with him to try and move it through the Senate now so we can get it back to the House, because there's going to probably be some amendments in the Senate, and then put it on the governor's desk eventually here.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt, but wasn't it passed last legislative session and Rendell vetoed it?
No, we had
We
had passed legislation, I think, back when we were in the majority.
And it didn't make...
I've taken a run at this a number of times over the years. We have as a Republican caucus, but the one time that I was successful in passing it through as an amendment, it ended up becoming watered down. I think Rendell did veto one of our bills at one time that had it in there. I think what we're advancing this time around is probably the strongest that we've ever advanced and is modeled after Indiana's law, which was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
So we stand on very solid constitutional ground with what we're doing. It's been proven through studies that have been done that it does not disenfranchise any voter at all, but in fact, it seems to actually, where it's been put in place, that the numbers have actually reflected that you see a higher turnout.
Yeah.
Voters. I think voters have a reason to go vote. They can have confidence that their vote's not being canceled out by a fraudulent cast vote.
That's a good point, because if voters feel that the system is tainted, then that would give them reason not to want to participate. I just read Philadelphia Inquirer article recently. You know, there are a lot of flood victims there from the hurricanes that have come through and flooded the Philadelphia area. But the federal government has set up a program for disaster relief, and if they have lost their food, like through the flooding or power outages, the federal government will give the victims, these flood victims, food stamps to, you know, help them get through till they get food stamps next month. But anyway, when you look at the form, the federal government form, as to the requirements for people to be able to receive this, number one on the list is they must provide proper ID.
Right.
I mean, if you have to provide proper ID to get food stamps, you surely should have to provide proper ID to be able to vote.
Well, I went to see a doctor this morning, and when I showed up, I was a first-time patient, and what did they ask me for? Photo ID.
Just to see the doctor.
Went to go have my eye doctor appointment recently, and what did they ask for? Photo ID.
Mm-hmm.
If you go get a library card, what are they going to ask for? Photo ID, if
yeah.
you want, before they'll give you the library card.
Yeah. So
you know, if you're driving your car, what do you use? Use a photo
driver's
ID.
Driver's license, yeah.
So, you know, it's just common sense that if we're going to ensure that our election process has integrity, and that most important right and responsibility as a citizen of choosing who will govern our local government, our state government, our nation, the most powerful nation in the world, that those that would be making that decision would actually prove that they are who they say they are, that they are who they claim to be when they show up to vote.
Yeah, and that they only get to vote once.
That's correct.
And I know on August 30th and 31st, you had 2 days of public hearings on a package of 15 immigration bills. And that testimony was recently discussed during a House State Government Committee. Now, if I've got the figures right, there's an estimated 140,000 illegal aliens in Pennsylvania alone and 1 million across the country. Is that about right?
There's approximately 140,000 illegal aliens here in Pennsylvania, and estimates across the country are anywhere from 12 million to 20 million.
12 million. Oh, 12. Numbers. I said 1 million. I was way off. 12 million across the country.
And depending on whose numbers you're looking at.
Recently,
one of the testifiers, I think, brought that down to about 11 million.
Oh, 11 million.
So there's actually claims out there that some of the illegal alien invaders have actually turned and went back to their own countries because they're not finding the jobs like they used to, but there's still millions of illegal aliens here stealing jobs, stealing public benefits, mm-hmm. and stealing citizenship yeah. that they have no right to, that are taking away from what is intended for our citizens right. and what's intended for those who are here legally.
Absolutely. And to help our listeners wrap their head around that number, 12 million, that is about the population of Pennsylvania.
That's correct. We're about 12,700,000 yeah. with the most recent census numbers. So 12 million people would be about the population of Pennsylvania, which is still, I think, about the fifth largest state in the country. It's a lot of people.
That is.
And by any standard, it would constitute an enormous army. And that's why, you know, I really refer to what's going on. It's not immigration that's occurring here. This is not illegal immigration that's occurring. It's an invasion. We have foreign nationals that are violating our borders knowingly, and they're coming into our country to take away from Americans what Americans have a right to, and mm-hmm. that's the right to work, a right to pursue employment without having somebody here from a foreign nation that's working illegally stealing that job, a right to enjoy what's offered to American citizens from their fellow citizens through the various government expenditures that are made, whether it's on our infrastructure, from our roads to our bridges to our mass transit system, and ultimately to those programs that are put in place when people fall on hard times.
Right,
but,
the same thing.
Those systems are filled with fraud and waste when it comes to Americans tapping into them, and how much more fraudulent it is, and what a violation of the trust of the people mm-hmm. of our country when you allow illegal aliens to tap into yeah. our public benefit system.
That does make it more difficult to pay your taxes when you realize that there's so much waste and that illegal aliens are, in some cases, accessing or being helped through our tax dollars. So I know it's been very frustrating for a lot of Americans, a lot of taxpayers, when they've seen this whole, like you're saying, illegal alien invasion. And there seems to be no help from the federal government, especially when they will attack, like Arizona, when Arizona passed their immigration bill, which was modeled after the federal, you know, language was the same as the federal government, is my understanding, but yet the Obama administration challenged that law.
Right, and that's right now there's a appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the Ninth Circuit's decision that will not allow your Arizona to actually enforce the law that they passed that mirrors federal law. And that's when somebody enters our country as a foreign national, they are required under our law to have registered with our government. If you fly through New York and through, you know, John F. Kennedy Airport, or you fly in through one of our international airports, you're going to be forced, when you get off the plane, to go through customs mm-hmm. and go through and talk to our folks that are there at that border entry point to ensure that you have the right paperwork to be here. If you swim across the Rio Grande or Lake Erie and try and avoid those officials, then, of course, you're not registering with right. our government when you enter the nation, and thereby you're failing to comply with our federal law that requires you to register when you enter our country. So what Arizona did was they passed a statute, would be at the state level, and would mirror to say if you didn't register to be here as our federal government requires, and now you're in violation of not only that law, but a state law that's mirrored after it, which we have a right to do that as a state, because before you're a citizen of the United States, you're a citizen of your state. That's what the 50 states that are united that joined together to form the Union, of course, ultimately, and of course some of those states were added after the Union was formed, mm-hmm. but we now have 50 states that constitute the Union, and every one of those states has a right to their own state sovereignty as defined in their constitutions, and part of that is that the citizens of their state are citizens of their state before they're citizens of the nation.
Yeah.
So we have a right to make sure that when somebody's in our state, they're a legal resident.
I agree, because, and I think the vast majority of Pennsylvanians agree with that notion. I mean, and it's only common sense. That,
it is.
I mean,
we have a constitutional obligation and right to protect our citizens
yeah.
from the illegal alien invaders that are here committing crimes, stealing jobs, stealing benefits.
And stealing the benefits that are available for American citizens.
Right. And there's so many on the other side that try and advocate on behalf of these people to say that, oh, they're good people, they're just looking for work. And that's not the case. Good people that are looking for work would be abiding by the law.
Exactly.
These individuals know they're violating the law, and they do not exist within our economy without violating one law after another every day they're here, whether it's our labor laws or our transportation mm-hmm. laws or our insurance mm-hmm. laws. If you, as an American citizen, violate the laws that these individuals violate as foreign nationals who are here illegally, you would be paying some hefty fines and doing some jail time.
Absolutely.
If you violated those same
yeah.
laws as you went about working illegally driving your car without a license, without insurance, mm-hmm. and many of the other crimes that they commit because they have to commit them yeah. to stay here because they're illegal.
And a lot of them, there's a good percentage that actually commit violent crimes, too, beyond just the driving without a license and stuff. But there are, I'm keeping a record, and I know I'm not getting all the articles, but of some of the illegal aliens who have been involved in murders and sexual assaults and things like that. So it's not just a matter of them coming across the border and getting a job without being a legal resident. It's also there are those who go beyond that and commit terrible crimes. And if they had been stopped at the border, then they would not have been here to kill that person or whatever.
That's exactly right. We've had many Americans that have been murdered by illegal aliens, raped, molested, had their identities stolen, which right. creates financial problems for years. There's the drug running, the human trafficking, moving people from country to country and from state to state for sexual slavery and things like that. It's just so horrific that most people goes beyond belief that it's even happening in 2011.
Yeah, I know.
But there's horrific crimes being committed against our fellow human beings out there, and they might be foreign nationals that are being moved in here by some of these criminal illegal aliens that are moving these people across the borders to take advantage of them and exploit them, whether they're women
true.
Or children.
That's true.
And it's
that's
this horrific crimes. That's part of the problem. And that's when these people continue to defend, some of these people out there continue to defend the illegal alien that's within our borders. They're helping to be complicit in providing cover for those criminal elements that are running drugs and trafficking human beings and committing gang violence against our citizens.
Too many people don't connect the dots when it comes to the fact that some of these are being taken advantage of by criminal elements and such.
That's correct. And in addition to that, you have the terrorist that's out there trying to harm our people.
Blow us up.
We had illegal aliens busted in northeastern Pennsylvania. They were up there at a camp training to attack our soldiers at Fort Dix there several years back. We've had a number of instances where they've caught terrorists and murderers, the terrorists that attacked our citizens on 9/11, the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And here in Somerset with Flight 93, they were illegal aliens in the sense that many of them overstayed the visas that they'd originally had to be here.
Absolutely. And I know this is like, 15 bills? It's a whole package of bills?
We have a whole package of bills that have been introduced. We've been working to have more of my colleagues involved with the package. We have a variety of bills, and we're going to be working to try and move that legislation here in the fall. And hopefully whatever we don't get a chance at moving in the fall, we'll be working to continue to try and move throughout the rest of the session.
Okay. And how can folks find out, I don't want to go through all the bill numbers and such. I have them here, but can folks contact your office for more information or your website, or how can they find
it? They can go to my website, repmetcalf.com, R-E-P, Metcalf, M-E-T-C-A-L-F-E.com. There's information on my website,
okay.
Also my contact information. We're happy to answer any of those inquiries to help people become more informed on what we're doing in Pennsylvania's legislature to protect their liberty and restore their liberty, protect American lives, liberty, and property through combating the illegal alien invasion.
Okay, appreciate that. So repmetcalf.com. And I do encourage folks to go to that website and check that out and get more information on this A National Security Begins at Home package of bills. I really appreciate all your energy and all the work that you do there in Harrisburg, Representative Metcalf. Just glad that we have a true conservative there in Harrisburg, and that you are outspokenly conservative. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you about these important issues.
Okay. Hey, and take care.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.